Hi there, welcome to Intentional Living Center. We're talking about kids and money today. Listen to these statistics. 8 of every 10 teenagers ages 13 to 17 are worried about finding a good job. 78% are anxious about potential student loan debt. 50% are concerned about being worse off financially than their parents. 97% still plan on attending college, and yet the average student loan when they graduate is over $30,000, and more than 75% still rely on their parents for financial information. What does that all add up to? Problems. I am Dr. Randy Carlson, and I do welcome you to the Intentional Living Center. Our phone number here is 888-888-1717. Our comment line is always open to you, and we enjoy hearing what you're thinking about and how a topic like today's is impacting your life and what thoughts you have on it. So give us a call. You know, we could spend 2 or 3 hours talking about this topic. We get 30 minutes on the radio here to talk about kids and cash today. This is a very intentional living topic. You know, the Bible speaks more about money than it does heaven or hell combined. Why? Because doesn't the Bible say that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also? And we live in a very materialistic society, very money-focused and oriented, and we're not doing a good job preparing this next generation of followers of Christ to understand what money is about and how it's to be used. And I mentioned the stats at the beginning here that 80% of teenagers from 13 to 17 are worried about finding a good job. They're thinking about the future. They're worried about student loans. They're worried about, you know, what's going to happen in their life. They realize that they're not, in their minds, going to be as well off as their parents. In short, today's teens are finding it tough to be optimistic about their financial future. And what's interesting in this survey from H&R Block, 62% of young Americans are dependent on their parents still as their role models in making decisions. And that can be scary when you think about it. What kind of role models did we have with our parents? What kind of role model are we being for our kids and grandkids? Talking about money today. And you can come join us. Here's what we want to do. I want ideas. I want things that you're doing that can help some other parent who wants to do a good job, something that has worked for you, or maybe you're a young adult and your parents did it right. They did some things that you now appreciate. What were those things? 888-888-1717 is my number. And we're going to give you as much information as we can. And we also, coming up here in just a few minutes, we have a couple known as America's cheapest family. They're going to come and give you some tips to parents, okay? Great half hour ahead from Intentional Living.
I have 7 children, and I live with my middle daughter. Every time that she gets into a financial problem, she turns to me and says, "Mom, do you have, you know, this amount of money that I can cover this, and then I'll pay you back?" Well, the only problem is that she doesn't pay me back.
We try, as they became adults, not to always say yes when they ask for help. It's really, they were taught and raised how to be independent, yet we did raise them in the church and taught them to tithe and how to try to handle their money. Problems do occur. You want to be sure that they understand that you're not there for just a handout.
Absolutely, and it begins early. If you have little ones, 3, 4, 5 years of age, this is a good time to start teaching them that they don't get everything they want just because they want it. And grandparents, we play a role in that as well, because go see grandma, you know. Nana will take care of it. And I know there's some liberty and grace for grandmas and grandpas, being one myself. But at the same time, learning that we're teaching our young people, these little ones, that it's okay to wait. In fact, it's part of life. Not everything they want, when they want it, they should get it. It's not good for them. And so it begins early, those lessons for life. Tips. Let's go to Mary on the line. Mary, welcome.
Hi.
How are you today?
I am so good. And I think you probably delivered newspapers to my house back in Detroit.
Boy, you know, I lived in my family. I lived in Berkeley, near 12 Mile and Woodward. And as a teenager, young, you know, 12, 13 years old, I got a paper route delivering the Free Press, Detroit Free Press, and on Wilshire and on Edgewood Boulevards in Berkeley. I'd go up one street, go out on Woodward Avenue, deliver to the businesses on the street, and come down the other way, collecting on rain and shine and snow and sleet.
Of course.
And I saved all my pennies and dimes and bought a brand new Swin 10-speed back in the 60s. It was $72 bucks.
That's a screaming deal.
And then someone stole it right out of my garage.
Oh, man.
So you learn the lessons.
Yes.
What have you been learning?
Well, my children are 21, 23, and 28. And they all have their bachelor's degrees because of the way that they were raised. And I want to share a little bit about a few things that we did. And for us, it was always age appropriate. We taught them things when they were real little. We didn't buy them toys unless it was Christmas or their birthday, but we gave them everything they needed and tried to teach them not to worry so much about where things were coming from. And then as they got older, we had some things that we did, and my favorite thing that we did was told the kids once they started to become working age, which for us was 12, because you can cut grass and you can babysit when you're 12. And so we told the kids every dollar that they saved for their first car, we would match them a dollar. So they would maybe make $10 cutting grass, and we'd put that money in the bank and match it $10.
Good.
And when they were 16, by their 16th birthday, we would see how much we owed them. Unfortunately, my daughter cost us a lot of money because she was pretty diligent. She was the third one, so she saw that the first one got kind of a junky car. The second one got a nicer car. And she cost us about $4,000.
Wow.
She got a pretty nice car.
Good for her.
And we also had them, if they wanted to drive, they had to leave $100 on the counter by the first of the month, because driving is a financial responsibility, and that would go toward their car insurance. Of course, they didn't learn until they got older that they got a really good deal on their car insurance. But we wanted them to understand that when you own something or you purchase something and you take on the responsibility of a young adult, there are financial responsibilities.
Absolutely.
They needed to buy gas for their cars. And then as far as college goes, we were the meanest parents in every high school, and we lived a lot of different places. But the kids knew that through their senior year, they had to take AP and honors classes. And if they took AP and honors classes, so in some states they had short days and a lot of the seniors were getting out at noon. Our kids were at school until 3:30, like the underclassmen. And the reward for that was they would not have to worry about paying for college. We would have saved that money.
Good for you.
Go ahead,
Mary, some of the things you're saying, I know there are some families who, just the way we're wired or the way you're wired, you feel guilty, thinking I should be providing for my kids all of the, insurance money and so on. It's just, they're kids, and I hate to see them do that. And if that's something you wrestle with, I've heard some families who say, listen, I'm going to have that procedure, $100 every month, you're going to go toward insurance or helping with tuition or whatever. And then they put that into a savings account, and then you give it back to them later when they're young adults as a way of saying, hey, you were responsible, and because you were responsible, here's the payback, the reward for it. And I think at the end of the day, it's a matter of being intentional, setting up a plan, and like Mary, like you guys did, following through. Now, how old are your kids now?
They're 21, 23, and 28.
And how are they with money?
They're very good for money, with money. Because when they were in college, we paid for the basics, okay? And they knew once they got to school that that was a privilege, because they saw a lot of their friends having to work while they were in school. Now, we did not support them in the summertime, so they had to be able to support themselves in the summertime, which meant they had to get jobs. And the money that they saved in the summertime would go for if they wanted to go on a spring break ski trip, or we would pay for mission trips because a couple of them did that. But any of their extra expenses. So
all right.
We paid for, we had a stipend for food. We had a paid their rent, we bought their books, and paid for their tuition.
All right. Hey, I've got to move on. Mary, you got a great story. You should write it down and share it with others. I appreciate it. A lot of good advice there. Appreciate the call. You know, we want to hear from you as well. 888-888-1717. Go ahead and give us a call right now. We'd love to hear from you. But coming up in just a moment, we're going to spend just a few minutes with America's cheapest family, Steve and Annette Economidis. And they're going to have some timely and practical help regarding adult kids and money.
Well, I've got a 17-year-old son who also loves to give. However, when we give him money to buy lunch or whatever it is for his needs, he will ask him, okay, how much money do you have left? And he'll go, none. And I'll like, why? And he'll say, well, because my friends needed this. I just gave you the money so that you can meet your needs. But then I have taught him this. I have taught him to be a giver.
Well, shame on you.
So
what were you thinking, teaching your son to be a giver?
My daughter, she's 21, lives on her own, has a daughter. I pay her cell phone, and she has a checking account that she and I both are on because we did that when she started college. She since dropped out of college, but I paid for her to get a car fixed. I paid to bail her out when she had a bounce check. Recently, just this week, she's had two more bounce checks.
Dr. Randy Carlson here today. You know, one of the big questions we get at the Intentional Living Center is, how can I help my kids? And they're now adults, and they're irresponsible with money, and we didn't train them right, and here they are coming home, and where do you draw the lines to do that? Well, I thought the best people to turn to would be those who know how to deal with not only kids, but money. America's Cheapest Family is the name of the book, and also I think represents their attitude about money, using money wisely for God. Steve and Annette Economidis is here and are in the studio again today. And you guys, listen, one of the things we get a lot of are parents who feel guilty. They want to help their kids. They don't know where to draw the line. They're adults, son or daughter's irresponsible. They didn't train them right in terms of money. What do you say if you're going to run your ship according to the plans that you guys write about, which is very economical and following a budget, and all of a sudden the son or daughter shows up and wants help all the time? What do you do?
First off, it's not uncommon.
No, it's
60%
not.
Of parents of adult children are supporting them right now.
Financially.
And we are seeing, it's not just 20s and 30s. We're seeing 50-year-old, 60-year-old men coming back and taking their parents' money. It's,
yes.
It is scary and sad and wrong. But the problem started way earlier with the parents not realizing that they were raising adults, not children, and really indulging. But, you know, if the die has been cast, if that's where you are, let's not regret it. Let's go on and do something to improve the situation, and that's going to be some tough love.
Right. Now, when you have an adult children, obviously it's going to depend on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
If there's health issues, if there's unemployment, if you know that it's a temporary thing, you can help out not by handing them money, but by buying groceries, by getting them a gas card, by paying a utility bill directly to the utility company.
We want to give them a hand up, not a handout.
Yeah.
You know, we're, somebody may not be, a child may not be totally honest. They may be have a personality type disorder. Pay for counseling. Pay for counseling.
Right.
Get them into a setting where they can thrive, where they can learn. It may be making a donation to Teen Challenge, maybe something like that, where you are undergirding them, but you are not giving them cash to help. You're empowering rather than enabling a bad habit.
You know, and I'm thinking, if you have a child that's living at home and they refuse to go work, it's time to say you need to get out on your own, because we're not helping them, Randy, by letting them sit home and play video games and not work. We're not helping them.
Well, I think it's not understanding the definition of what parenting is. So you're trying to create within your child the ability to be independent, to be on their own. And when we enable them by overdoing for them, one of the things I write about in one of our intentionals is that whenever you do for a child what they can do for themselves, you weaken them.
That's
absolutely.
Right.
Codependency. Codependency is not healthy.
And it's not healthy. And money is one example of that.
Mm-hmm. We look at it like lifting weights. I was an athlete in college, a gymnast. And actually, Annette is a voice major, but I got her lifting weights now, and we work out together. But when you start lifting weights, we don't lift 100-pound barbells.
Mm-hmm.
No, we start with 1 pound. And that's what the goal of training children and raising adults is. When a child is 3 and 4 years old, we let them lift 1 pound weights financially. with the goal that by the time they're 18, they are lifting 50 and 100-pound weights because they've been trained all along to be faithful in little things, which prove that they'll be faithful in larger things.
Very good.
And we had one reader to our website, a subscriber, write in and say that she was a mess financially and kept asking her parents to loan her money. And her parents finally got fed up with it and said, look, we're going to write a contract. We'll loan it to you, but we will not loan you another dime until you pay this off. Hmm. And so she finally got to the point where she realized she can't keep running to mom and dad to bail her out. She's got to figure out other solutions for how to survive life. But I would just say, if there's people out there, no matter what age your kids are, start now training them to deal with money.
Absolutely. And you've written a book called The Money Smart Family System and Teaching Financial Independence to Children of Every Age. And I appreciate you guys stopping by. We'll have to have you come back and we'll do a whole show just for parents.
Yes.
But today, helping us think about what does it mean to be intentional with those adult children that sometimes they stay on the hook way too long. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Thanks for stopping by.
You bet.
You know, I was doing some math this morning coming in, and I realized that in my life, I've spent over 100,000 hours at work. You probably have as well in a lifetime. 100,000 hours in work. It's a big deal, isn't it? Third of our time, generally, as adults. And if you're not in the workplace, you're working at home, there's still work. Work is work. In fact, if you go back to the very beginning in Scripture, you see that the first two curses in the Bible had to do with work. The first one for the woman says, you will have pain in your labor, right? And for the man, you will go through the pain or the sweat of your brow. Well, that's an excerpt from this month's teaching for members only called Six Ways to Give Lasting Purpose to the Work That God's Called You To. And boy, when you think about such a small percentage of people really engaged and loving and passionate about what they do, it's something that we can be very intentional about, giving 100,000 hours of your life to what you do and not find yourself engaged at it. Must be a very painful thing when you hear most people hate what they're doing. Wow, this is something to be intentional about. I hope the teaching this month will be an encouragement to you. If you're not a member, come and join us. We'd love to sign you up and have you be a part of the family. And your monthly support will start sending you upon request the monthly teaching. Hey, by the way, for every person this month, if you'll share maybe a single gift with us, you've never supported the ministry before, we have another teaching on CD we'd like to send to you called How to Work Yourself Out of a Job into a Calling. How to make the job that you do a real calling in your life. Information on how you can receive that is available at our website. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And boy, we appreciate hearing from you, and thank you so much for your support. By the way, when you go to the website, theintentionallife.com, we have very helpful resources there for you, including a lesson on intentional living, 4 free short video teachings on how to begin an intentional life, setting goals, setting direction in your life, overcoming obstacles, and how to move in a direction to finish strong. It's our gift to you. All you have to do is check it out at theintentionallife.com. Very briefly, I want to remind you that your comments are always welcome here. This is a very interactive experience for you. You can give us a call at 888-888-1717. We love your comments.
It's the 3 most important words in the English language.
I love you.
Okay, then maybe these are 3 among the most important words. Free, free, free. Intentional Living has free resources for you and your family to strengthen your faith, your marriage, your parenting, and more. Check out The Intentionals, our top 10 lists. Read free ebooks, start your own intentional one thing challenge, give and receive prayer, and more.
Cool, and it's all free, free, free.
TheIntentionalLife.com.
How do you let go of anger in your marriage? Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Here's the answer. Forgive quickly. You know, the Bible speaks of keeping short accounts. In other words, don't hold on to anger. Keep your marriage current instead of bottling up and letting those issues build until it becomes a Mount St. Helens kind of an explosion in your relationship. And release the frustration daily in productive ways and healthy ways. Be kind to each other. Be tender-hearted, the scripture says, forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. When you follow these steps intentionally every day in your marriage, and you practice forgiving quickly, you're going to build a healthy relationship that can last for a lifetime. That's the beginning of forgiving one another every day. That's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
I'm a 56-year-old woman, and my father paid for everything, from cars to houses to food, everything. Every time I got in trouble, he was there to pay for everything. Recently, I was in a serious car accident. I can no longer work. I have no income. I'm just now learning about finances at the age of 56. My father did me a great disservice by giving me everything that I wanted. I never had to work for anything. It was always given to me. And now I'm paying the consequences.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
Thank you, Kurt. Talking money today, and in particular, kids and cash, teaching your children about money. Where else are they going to learn? They're certainly not going to learn from our government. And what they will learn will be debt's okay. Boy, it's amazing. Scary. And I feel for the young generation coming up. But young people, if you're listening, young adults getting married, if you'll start now, you run the numbers. If you start now to be intentional in your workplace, if there's a matching gift, get it matched for your 401k. Setting aside, we teach 10-10-80, starting to, of course, tithe and then learning to start saving 10%. If you can't start with 10, start with 5, start with 2, but get started and do it intentionally over an extended period of time with those years ahead. Boy, that can really multiply. You do the math and you'll see that a small amount put in even now, 30, 40 years from now, can multiply and become very significant to help in those years, which are coming if God tarries. All right, Joe's on the line in Texas. Hi, Joe. Welcome.
Hey, Dr. Andy. How are you?
Good. Good. Appreciate your call. What are you teaching your kids about money?
Well, we are really teaching them to be entrepreneurial. You know, my father was a Green Beret, Special Forces Airborne Ranger, and he said, don't do this. Don't do what I'm doing. You go to college. And my wife's parents, they said the same thing. You know, we both went to college. We got great degrees. You know, we did everything the world said, yet our wallet said we were broke. And, you know, the real wake-up call for us is when I got a pay cut, and it was a $200 a month pay cut, and that sent us into borrowing money from my wife's parents.
Mm.
And so at that moment, my wife got involved in a company where she was the variable. And that has blessed us tremendously over the past 2.5 years. This year we'll make over $250,000. And we're able to tithe now more than we even made a year ago. That's how much we tithed last year, was more than we even brought
wow.
in. And so we are teaching our children that, you know what, you don't have to. I was sitting down at lunch the other day and just listening to a conversation, and just the conversation between the mom and the children of, yeah, are you going to go to this college? Are you going to go here? And those little seeds being planted, even though we think they're positive seeds, we're wrapping, you know, all that yarn and saying college is the only way. College is the only way. College, college, college. And so we really, right now, our children, we want them to do whatever they want to do, whether it be college or pursue their own dreams. And that's what it's really taught us over the past 2 years, of us taking control of our own financial destiny and us being the variable. So that's what we pour into our children each and every day.
Well, good for you, and congratulations on the success, and keep honoring God in the process, Joe.
Awesome. Thanks, Doctor.
All right, my friend. We're talking about money and kids today, and money is a reflection, I think, of our values. I tell people, give me your checkbook or your register of your credit card slips to review how you've spent money over the last couple of months, and it'll pretty well review the priorities. What will we see in there? What kind of purchases are made and what kind of investments are made and what is given? We teach 10-10-80. It's a very simple and biblically based principle of finance. The first 10%, the tithe, is God's, learning to give to Him, being systematic and doing that. If you're not there now and you haven't gotten there yet, that's okay. Start. The key is to start, not just to wait till you're there. Get started. Wherever you get started, but get started. Secondly, is to start setting aside. And of course, as you're older, if you're 50 years old today and you've not saved anything like the average American, you may have nothing in the bank or just a few dollars preparing for the future, you may need to change your lifestyle. You may need to sell a car. You may need to downsize your home. You may need to change your habits and spending so you can save more. Young people, if you start saving even 10% at this point over the next 40 years, it's you do the math. You can get out the calculator and run it for yourself. It's pretty significant. But learning to be intentional in the process is the key, and honoring God in the process. Tell us your story. We'd love to hear it at 888-888-1717.
My name is Robert. I listened to Intentional Living. A couple months ago, you were talking about the 10-10-80 plan, giving 10% to God and putting 10% aside for yourself and then living on the 80%. Well, right after that show, I decided to do that. And I was just calling to let you know, not to pat myself on the back, but to let you know that actually works, because just recently my refrigerator went bad. And as you know, that's not a cheap thing. You can't just run down to a grocery store and pick it up for a couple bucks. But anyway, because of the savings plan that I set up after that program, I was able to have enough money to completely pay for the fridge in cash. So appreciate your program. And the 10-10-80 plan works. If someone else, if you're listening and you're not on it, I would highly recommend it.
That's fantastic. You know, we start with setting aside an emergency fund. When I see the statistics of the number of Americans that don't even have a basic emergency fund of $1,000, it's pretty scary. And I know there's many factors, but we still live in a land where if we're intentional and if we're working, we can set aside some to become intentional in the process. And depending on what age you're at, the 10-10-80 works especially for younger people. But as you get older, you know, and as God has blessed, maybe you move from 10-10-80 to 15-15-70. Maybe you move to 20-20-60. I don't know. But to have the kind of passion in your life that says, I'm going to honor Christ first, take care of myself and my family second, and then just all the normal expenses, preparing for the future first, and then taking care of all the routine needs. It's a matter of budgeting and being intentional, but you can do it. Hope that's been helpful. We'll be back next time from our Intentional Living Center with more for you, for your family, and certainly for your life.